This episode contains adult content. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Time After Time, our fantasy role-playing, our generic fantasy role-playing game, where our characters are jumping into the bodies of different people and living their lives vicariously. Last time on Time After Time, our characters found out that there is something called the Crestium Mines that houses Crestium. Crestiums hold certain types of magics, and this world that they're in, they don't really know how to harness the energy of the magics that's in the Crestium. So our group that has jumped into these bodies of these other characters, they are part of this detective group called, they call themselves the Extraordinary Four. But their name around town is changed to the Horrendous Four because they haven't solved a mystery yet. So they're going to be on their way to the Crestium Mines to find out what's happened. All right, so you guys are headed to the Crestium Mines. As you're kind of walking, do you guys talk about anything? Do you stew into your own brains? What's happening?
I try to hit stuff along the way because I've never been this big before.
So what are you trying to hit? Are you just like punching like just bushes? Like, are you knocking stuff down? Yeah. Rocks? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm seeing what everything looks like from up here. I'm like three times taller than I normally am. So
yeah, sure. Roll me a strength check.
Wait a minute. This is gonna be tricky. Whose really strength should... am I using?
Well, you're using your own.
Uh-oh.
Because even though you're in a big body, you still have the strength of a little boy.
Well, I rolled a 16, so that's a 15. Not bad.
Nice. Nice. That's not bad at all.
So I'm feeling confident.
Yeah. Yeah. So you like strike a tree and it shakes like furiously, and a squirrel falls and hits the ground. And like, and then it just like all of a sudden shakes his head, looks at you, and just kind of like almost like shakes a fist at you and just like really pissed at you.
I'm actually real quick then. I'm gonna take one of my balls and I'm gonna spell balls, and I'm gonna rub it, and the green hand will come out, and I'm gonna gently pick the squirrel up and put it back in the tree.
Nice. I just to let you know, when I put this on the podcast, I'm going to cut out all the other words that don't sound dirty and make it sound exactly what it's supposed to be sounding like. No. So you use your green mage hand or whatever you want to call it to put the squirrel back. And the squirrel, like, as soon as you pick it up, it like gets pissed again. It's like, what are you picking me up for? And then you put it in the tree.
I'm gonna put you back in the tree. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that's what you sound like, but when you think you sound like, but the squirrel is hearing, oh, it is like, so it's like it, the squirrel thinks you're still yelling at it.
Right.
And the squirrel just like jumps from tree to tree and just kind of like squawks back at you or whatever and just takes off.
You're welcome.
Hilda, we should really try and not leave a a trackable path here. We're trying to get out of range of the Bebop and Rocksteady army that's coming out.
But what are you talking about? We're trying to taking the path. We're on a path.
Right. Right. Let's try to keep a lower profile.
Oh yeah, I can do that.
Tamron did
punch another tree.
Did you tell us what you found out in the market? And did we hear that the guards were coming? I have a note that said the guards were coming, but I don't know. People were yelling, right? So we knew we had to scoot.
Yeah, because they actually saw you. And I'm sorry to interrupt, Leslie. Just give me 2 seconds. So yeah, basically the guards saw you and were pushing through the crowd, and you were able to escape.
Okay. Oh, and yeah. I was trying to make myself invisible. Sorry.
Yeah, we were running. I presume you overheard us. We weren't trying to hide our conversation from you guys.
Okay. I didn't know if you had split like far from us and we're kind of wandering and having a conversation.
No.
Okay.
Not trying to keep secrets. Tamron's an open book. She's singing, actually, as she's walking quietly.
Cam is losing his mind. Like, guys, please.
Softly singing.
What are you singing, Tamron?
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, Tamron.
Just for the reason why I always do this, Leslie, because I tried to do this to John last time we had our campaign when he was a bard, and he was very shy. He didn't really want to sing that much.
He did do it to me.
I did.
I think she's probably singing Time After Time.
Yes. Nice. Back in her head for some reason. Nice. And someone that's watching the movie of that made based off of this campaign is like, oh, they said the thing.
Yeah. So she's like humming that to herself. Do we have any idea how far out of town or where this actually is? We found a map, didn't we? Or she drew a map for us. So how long do we think it's going to take us to get there?
Does anybody have cartography or any kind of history or anything like that?
I do have history.
All right, why don't you roll it?
A stealth check.
I can roll a history check.
Yeah.
Ooh, there you go.
Anybody that doesn't have history can roll a history check, but you have to roll with advantage. Or disadvantage, sorry.
I have +4 in history.
Oh, nice.
Proficient.
Just do it. 2.
Okay, Leslie, when I asked if anybody had history, you never even said anything. And now you say you have a +4? You said you don't keep secrets, but I think you're lying.
Shish. That's, you know, sometimes things come back to her. like what's on her character sheet.
That's true. You know what? You do have amnesia, so you may, you know, you may not be, you may be a little fuzzy.
Well, I only rolled a 5, so I got a 9.
Ooh.
Okay. I got a 12. Polar opposites. I rolled, so I'm rolling. You said roll with disadvantage.
If you don't have history, if you don't have a point in history. Have
history.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I got a 1 and a 20.
Oh, nice. So what did you roll first?
My total, I rolled the 20 first.
Okay. But is that with your plus, or is that a nat?
It was a nat, so it's 25 after thingies.
What did everybody else roll?
I got a 2.
12.
Okay. All right. Well, nobody else knows shit. All right. Tota.
It is a good thing.
Yes.
Knowing stuff.
Well, okay. So here we go back to our little critical deal. You can either know exactly how far and maybe even a little bit more about where the Crestium mines are. You can remember something about yourself, you're about Tota, or you can remember something about the character that you're inside. Which it sounds terrible. I apologize.
I would like to know something about the character, about the persons who I am currently inhabiting.
Oh, love it.
I figure staring at the map, right? And something sparks in there.
So your name is Ronnie. R-H-O-N-N-Y.
All right.
Yep. You are a, trying to put this lightly, dim-witted orc. But you have the, Ronnie has the biggest heart of the group. Ronnie is a part of a very big clan of 23 siblings. You are the baby, but you are the strongest of the 23. You, when it comes to Ronnie being in the, in this detectives group or whatever, you've probably been the, even though you are dim-witted, what I would call it, you have come the closest to solving a lot of different cases that have happened, but the other people in your group have actually thwarted that, basically. So he's never been able to get the respect that he really deserves. Mm. The one thing that I will tell you, though, is that you've actually this character has actually held Christium in Ooh. Their hands, but not their bare hands, but actually has found it on accident.
Oh, all right.
Okay. And one thing that you know about Christium is that if there is something you desire as far as a magic in Christium, if you concentrate hard enough, you can pull that out of Christium.
Ooh, that sounds dangerous.
But it comes at a cost.
Oh, right.
Whoa.
guys. Okay. So, I have a bunch of brothers and sisters and I'm a really sweet guy and they, and there's some thing. Okay. So Christium, right? The stuff in the mine and all that, right? So you can, it's kind of almost like, have you ever heard of like a wish spell? Kind of like a watered down wish spell. So like if you hold Christium and you concentrate really, really hard, or kind of like a genie, right? Like a djinn, how you can make a wish and it'll give you what you want. But then if you do, then there's usually, they're also kind of mean and they'll really kind of do something bad to you afterwards as well. So you get your wish, but you don't really get your wish, right? Or you get exactly what you wish for, and then it ends up kind of biting you back in the bum. So Christium could do that. If you hold it and you concentrate on like what your heart really, really wants, then it can actually pull it out of the Christium.
Toto, are you having
really
a stroke?
Not safe to use.
Where did this come from, Toto?
No, I made like, so I was looking at the map and like, I think I saw like some of the things like with the mine and everything like that. And it kind of like, I don't know if because I've been in this body a little bit longer and we're kind of starting to fuse our minds together or what, or something happened, but yeah. So I got like ideas and memories from, Ronnie. I'm Ronnie. Well, not like me. I'm Toda, but like, this is Ronnie.
Oh, interesting. So you were able to tap into Ronnie's memories.
Yeah.
That could be useful if we could do it more on demand and less just randomly.
Right. Yeah. It kind of hurt a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Are you all right?
I'm okay. But yeah, so we should be really careful. Ronnie is actually, he's seen Christium. He's held it, but he was wearing like gloves. You never want to touch it with your hands because it can be dangerous that way, because that's when it can kind of trigger the whole pulling your desire thing. And there's always some kind of like bad thing that happens along with it. So we got to be really careful.
Do you think maybe someone used the Christium then to kill the king? There wasn't any blood or anything.
That's a really good idea.
I mean, I don't know if it's a good idea, but maybe somebody did it.
Personally, I would feel really good about that rather than me actually killing somebody. So.
Thing happened, for sure. This seems to be our only clue so far, so I suppose we should check it out. Although I don't know what we're going to find exactly at the mine.
It's worth keeping in mind until we find out more.
Yeah.
Tota, did you happen to remember if the mine is still... Oh, they blasted the mine. That's right. That's right.
Kurt, Tamron's pretty nervous about the individuals who are looking for us in the town. Do we see any signs of being pursued?
Roll me a perception check.
Cameron will probably say something to everyone like, hey, do you think they followed us? I got a 4.
Oh, all right. Yeah. So you kind of think about it and you turn around and you kind of look back and you squint and it's like your mind's fooling you. You're like, did I see something? No. Wait, was that? No, I think something just stepped on a branch. No, you don't perceive anything.
I want to say that Cam is probably paranoid enough about this to be looking as well.
Well, I mean, Tamron's like, does anybody else want to look? Like,
yeah, anything? Cam would be into like watching their six. You know,
that's... yeah, yeah. Well, go ahead, Cam, and roll me a perception check.
Ooh, that's an 18 plus 6, 24.
Nice. Hmm. I would say you hear something or see something. Yeah, so you know that these boar creatures or whatever, you know, kind of have like hooved feet and hands as well, or fist as you would say. It almost sounds like you can hear clopping on the ground coming towards you at an expedient pace.
I'm going to blast off a use. I don't really know where we are in the time here, but I'm going to use another psychic thing here to connect us all with the psychic whispers.
Okay.
What the hell do I roll for the minutes? Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Where are you? Sorry. Just want to make sure I use the right die. What the hell? There it is. 1d8. So, 4. Oh! The next 8 hours. Okay, so when I see or hear the hooves, I'll blast that off, and I'll just say in everyone's minds, we're still definitely being pursued. I can hear them behind us. We need to quicken our pace and keep chatter to a minimum.
Should we just try and hide and hope they pass?
I don't know. They're boars. I mean, like they're probably. They could probably smell us.
But can we outpace them?
I don't know. We should try. I mean, unless you want to see if we can take them, we can hide and ambush them. But did we figure out how far we were from the thing, from the cave?
You were trying to look at that, but no one really was able to see. But I will tell you that, you know, if you look off into the distance, you almost feel like you do see something at the top of like, it's not like a mountain, but like at the top of a ridge. You feel like you see something that might be a cave that has collapsed.
Well, maybe we just take a different route. Let's get off the road at least and take a different way up there.
All right. I have an idea. Kurt, what's the area around us look like right now?
Yeah, remember before when I talked about it was kind of like swampy and kind of gross.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's kind of dirty and stuff like that, so to be able to trek through off the beaten path, it's probably going to take you, you know, at least, you know, not twice as long, but a little bit harder than you would if you were on the beaten path. And also, as far as stealth goes, it'd be a little bit harder unless you were to like kind of really get yourself into the muck.
All right, I have an idea. All right, I'm gonna go up to like the edge, like just barely off like the path area that we're on, to where it starts to get like mucky and gross. And I'm gonna take one of the balls, roll it on the ground, and it's gonna kind of float just above the surface. And as it does, it creates like a foot wide path. Like the dirt actually like kind of raises up a little bit and creates like a path. So I have mold earth. I can affect up to 5 cubic feet of earth. So I figure if I'm raising it up like a foot or so and a foot wide, I can do that for what? So 5 cubic feet is 25 total. So probably about maybe like 25, like say 20 or 25 feet long. Okay. I want to do it like far enough away that we can kind of like get into a smaller secluded area that like they wouldn't normally look for.
Okay. So as far as that goes, do you have like, do you have an, like only a certain amount you can use? Is that a cantrip?
It's a cantrip. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yeah. Sounds good.
Lasts, so I can excavate, color, mold, or make it difficult for, and it lasts for 1 hour. So I just want to mold it and harden it a little bit. So, and like compact it so that we have like a path that we can take like just off the side a little bit.
Yeah.
So that, you know, they can pass by us and they wouldn't expect us to be like in the mud.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, you know, as you do that, it just kind of like raises and goes a certain way. You know, you kind of know where you're going, but not exactly. So you make it a nice enough path, and you all just kind of, if you decide to all take it and trust Tota or whatever, it seems pretty, pretty nice. And, it may be a little slippery just because of it coming out of the mud and stuff like that. But as long as you guys don't, you know, run or, you know, don't, as long as you pay attention, you should be able to stay on that, other path.
That's a cool use of that spell. Mm. Cameron's like,
nice. Very well done, Tota.
Who has the lowest dexterity?
I mean, probably me.
Not me.
I'm 15.
Oh, actually, I'm pretty dexterous. I have a 15.
I'm at 18.
Ooh. What do you have, Cam?
16.
16. All right.
Oh, so, wow. You know what? The lowest.
I'm going to say that you guys are actually fine. Your dexterity is actually pretty high. So, you know, every once in a while, maybe you slip a little bit, but it's nothing bad, you know, just kind of get a little something on you, like, ugh, push it off. As you are kind of headed the way that you're headed, you hear those steps just kind of get bigger and bigger and bigger, and it almost sounds like a clopping now. And you see those same boar guards that you saw that were chasing you before, except for this time they're riding really humongous multi-tusk elephants, and they're just clopping on the ground, just boom, 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 and it just gets louder and louder and louder, and even kind of shakes the path that you kind of that you've kind of created, Tota, but luckily you guys steel yourself. It's nothing that kind of shakes you into the muck or whatever. And it's almost like they don't get like past you like too much, but probably like maybe like 10, 15 feet past you where you're at currently, but going the other way. And the one guy that's kind of in the lead stops, and I smell them. And he kind of smells your way and says, impossible. And then he kind of looks at both of them and kind of points in the direction that you were going on the path, and then just they just bolt it that way.
And smell us, huh? Odd. Tamron's like,
yeah, same thing. Jonah's like, I know.
Yeah, I, so they, I would like.
I bathe regularly. They went but by I don't us, know though? If, like, I bathe regularly.
Yeah. Fair. You all smell fine.
Yeah, it's you're kind of actually shocked because it's like, okay, number one, you like everybody is gross and smelly and stuff like that. Right. Looks like at least, you know, and you're in the muck and stuff like that. So you either A, that guy has a very tip top nose, or B, actually knows who you are.
Right.
Or C, both.
That wasn't an option. Come on. Yep. So you guys continue on your path and you're kind of going the long way around. The pounding of the hooves of the elephants, the feet of the elephants, kind of dissipate in the background. And as you're heading up.
Elephant. Tamron's like, let me add to my menagerie.
So, Kurt, you said that, so they were on us then, and the guy said that he could smell us, but they just kept going?
Yes, because he was, you know what? Roll me, be another perception check, boy.
Yeah, no, that's what it's there for.
Yeah, let's roll another one. That's my game, so we're going to end up just rolling it anyway.
It's a catch-all. It's good.
That's right.
18.
Okay. So you realize that when he, you know, smells in that direction and thinks that you're going in that direction, and he like looks that way and says impossible, like you realize that maybe this muck that's here, that where you're going off this unbeaten path, is probably not something you want to get yourself stuck in.
All right. So, I mean, when it's safe, I should just say that. So Cam kind of looks around and notices the muck, and this occurs to him. And then in everyone's mind, he says, when the coast is clear, we should probably get out of this muck. I don't like the way he just bypassed us.
No problem.
Okay. So you follow Toda's path. You get closer and closer time to what you think is the Crestium Caves. And as you get closer, you realize that this is exactly where you're trying to get to. The only thing that's odd about this situation is that the caves, if they were caved in at one time, they don't look it. You can see like some debris and stuff like that, maybe push off to the side, but the cave, the mouth to the cave is wide open. And there are two boar guards guarding it. With give me a second.
Hey guys, I thought you said that this was supposed to be abandoned and all caved in.
Yeah, this is definitely that seems to be a story they were telling everybody.
Our boar guardsmen are dressed in heavy chainmail with horn metal helms and obsidian dark spears.
They don't look too friendly.
We gotta get those spears. Those spears, those spears sound pretty nasty. We need to get our hands on those spears.
Wait a minute. Would it make those boar spears? Because they're boars and they no. Okay.
I like it. No, I was right, also can we to cut
that
of,
out? That...
No, I was also trying to think of something when he said boar guards to put like Violet Boar Guard in there somehow, but I couldn't. Nice. I couldn't force it.
So there's only two guards and there's no sign of our Oliphants?
Not that you can see.
Alas. Right. Do we want to try and sort of search the area before we approach any closer just to make sure there's nothing else lurking around?
Oh, that would be good. Yeah, make sure they don't have like a tent with a bunch of other guys like this here.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can sneak around and try to see that shit or... Belzarin, let's do a recon sneak.
Yeah, let's do it. I was against maybe killing these guys, but if they're complicit with the mine being open, it's against the will of the king. So they may not have the kingdom's best interest at heart.
No, let's get a closer look. So we get a closer look.
Do me some rolls.
Nat 20, 27.
Holy shit.
Oh, 19 plus 9.
Oh,
28.
Oh, very nice. That's awesome. Okay. So let's get to the entire
fucking area. It's all mapped.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You're like a cartographer now. You're like, I've got everything here. This, and this, and this. And there's a little hole here. And then when you pull the lever here, yeah.
We're talking to each other while we're doing it, just like fanning out.
Oh, there you go.
It's so good.
Yeah, exactly. So Belzaren, so when you start to kind of like think of like, okay, recon, let's try to figure out what's going on with this area or whatever, you're like, okay, obviously, you know, sneaking around, being as stealthy as you can, and like your character is this kind of like really like creepy vampire looking. You almost like float, you know, kind of when you're walking and stuff like that. You are kind of concentrating on what you're doing. And then all of a sudden you realize that your cape is starting to disappear. No, that's not your cape that's disappearing. You are starting to disappear.
So I think he stopped, like he looks down, you know, because he's watching where he's putting his feet, make sure he doesn't step on any branches or whatever. And then like his foot comes out, but then he can see through his foot, and then like stop and like look around. Like as he looks like at his arm, you know, he's got a sword out and he looks over, like the arm is starting to fade away. And he's like, Cam, can you see me? Just like stop and turn around and look.
Well, I imagine, did we go the same direction or did we split up? I think we might have went around each side, right? I don't know if I can see you.
Oh, maybe. Well, I he would still ask, right? I don't know if we like.
Yeah, okay. I try to look for you.
Yeah, maintain some kind of contact.
I try to get eyes on him, Kirk. Can I get eyes on him?
So do you go around? Do you go back to him?
Yeah, I'd probably, if he says that, I'll work my way back, try to work my way back around to where I know he is, because we're so good at this.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, you come back and you like, unless Belzaren like purposely doesn't have everything on him, you can't find him anywhere.
I can't find you anywhere. Do you see me?
Yeah, no. Oh, I see you. So that cloak, I think I'm attuned to the cloak. It's a cloak of invisibility. That's what Tam said. So it works. And he gives you the thumbs up. You can't see it.
I can't see any gestures you're making. You're making any gestures.
I'm giving you the thumbs up.
Oh, perfect. All right. So it works. That's good. Well.
Yeah. Should I get a little closer?
Yes.
I mean, if they could smell us, though, maybe I shouldn't get too close.
Well, that's all right. We got you covered. And we're kind of like saying this. Everyone can hear us. And I think like, so we didn't see anybody else, just these two.
I was going to say, you are actually, if you go around to the back, you find exactly what you're thinking. There is a tent that's set up and there are two other boar's guard that are actually preparing a meal.
All right. I passed that along. There are two more in a tent behind. So we need to. Okay, I've got. No, I actually don't have darkness. I can't cast that.
Yeah. So the thing that they're making is they're kind of charring these what look kind of like crepe leaves, and they're stuffing rice into them and putting little bits of something else in it, maybe like berries or something like that, and they're rolling it up and they're dipping it into this oil and then throwing it onto this like black pan, and they put it over the fire and they're cooking it as you guys are sneaking around.
Sounds delicious. So they're definitely within earshot, though. Like if we were to try and take out the two guards at the mouth of the cave,
they definitely hear that.
So you are basically on the other end of the cave. The cave is actually pretty big. So let's just say it's like maybe like if you're going front to back, maybe like 75 feet.
I definitely know if that's within hearing distance.
We assume so, right? If it's quiet out here,
yeah,
right. they're gonna hear it.
Guys, I might have a solution, at least a part of the problem.
What's that?
Do it.
Well, now? Hold on.
Do the solution.
Okay.
No, Toto.
Tell us. No, Toto, tell us. Tell us the solution.
Oh, it's too late.
Damn it.
So how far away are the guards at the front of the cave from me and Tamron?
Let's say like 50 feet, just because you don't want to get too close.
Sweet. Close enough. I'm going to take a ball, and this one is like kind of a silvery sparkle. Right. Ooh. So it like you can see almost like glitter inside, and he winds up and tosses it, and it goes like eerily like a knuckleball, almost like eerily just kind of floating in the air. And as it gets right near the guards, it cracks open and this little silvery dust starts to fall on top of them. I need my D8s.
Bam loads his crossbow.
On the guards in camp or the ones that are by the front?
By the ones up front.
Okay, so you're next to me casting this spell right now.
Yes, yeah.
Tamron's like,
so let's see. 14, 15, 16,
17, 18. Toto.
20, 26.
Doing, Toto.
And 26, 32. So I cast sleep. Nice. Let's see, starting with the lowest HP and working to the other one, they'll fall asleep for 1 minute or until they're damaged. I have 36 hit points worth of character worth of target.
Nice.
So if one of them has less than 36 hit points, he will fall asleep, and if there's enough for the other one to fall asleep, then it will as well.
Sleep damage.
So, So one of the guardsmen does this thing where they both react, of course, because they're seeing this thing, and they look at the sparkles or whatever, and they're kind of like, "What is this?" And the one of them just kind of says, "Oh, that's kind of nice. I kind of like." And then he just kind of like falls back and falls kind of into the other one, knocking the other one's spear to the ground. He's like, "What the hell, Jared?"
So only one of them went to sleep?
Yes, correct.
How far away are we from them?
50 feet.
All right. God damn it, Toto.
And I go like in our brains, I'm like, uh-oh, okay, only one of them.
She's gonna cast Hold Person.
Oh. Nice.
All right. Let's see. Hold Person. Choose a humanoid you can see within range. They must succeed on a wisdom saving throw. So she would have to take out a straight piece of iron out of her pack, and you see her kind of twirl it between her fingers, and then as she sort of flicks it in his direction, she speaks the words of the spell. Wisdom saving throw. Wisdom 14.
14? All right. That is a 19.
She's like, fuck, Toto.
Yeah, so like at first, you know, it's almost like it's going to work. The other one just kind of goes, what the? Wait. And it's like, he's like trying to like move his hips, and then all of a sudden he just kind of like says, he starts, he gets mad or whatever. He's like, oh, This happens every time. Goes to pick up his spear and is going to try to nudge Jared awake.
Guys,
what's your plan?
Before he can nudge him awake, like, so I see him like reach down to like pick up his spear. I'm gonna take another ball and I gotta break for it. I'm gonna run as far as I can. I got 25 feet. I'm gonna run 25 feet, roll one of my balls on the ground. And as it's basically gonna like roll and then immediately stop right as it gets towards him, and the ground below him is just gonna go bloop and open up.
So you're gonna Acme hole him is what you're gonna do.
Yeah, I'm gonna mold earth right below him and create nice. Like a 5 foot deep hole.
Nice. Yeah, so like he goes to grab his spear and he's gonna pick it up and he's gonna kind of knock Jared in the face. He's just like, Jared, just get it up. And he just goes to do it, and the hole opens up and he does like a little Scooby Doo like with his legs and then falls down into the hole, and you hear a crunch. Ooh. And you hear him go, and he like, you can tell that he's broken something.
Hey guys, we gotta do this fast. Oh my god, I think I heard him.
But what are we doing?
I don't know.
We're going into the mine. Go.
Okay.
Where's Belzarin? Belzarin.
Yeah, you guys are with the other guys, and they actually, when the one board kind of breaks his whatever and screams, the other two perk up. So you guys can run into the cave if you'd like, or you can try to stop those two, because they go to grab their spears and they're going to head to the mouth of the cave.
I'll probably drop a darkness on them on the tent then, and then we'll move. We'll get to the cave.
Okay.
So they're all blinded and shit.
Okay. Yeah.
Did you tell me that? Because I might just take a fucking pot shot then.
Well, okay, yeah, I'll just say, hey, I'm gonna drop darkness on them, and then we'll get back and get in the cave.
You want me to shoot them?
I mean, I don't know if we want to. I guess we could engage in combat, but I think we're trying to get into the cave, right?
I guess, but what good is it if we get stuck in the cave if they're out here? There's only one entrance and one exit, right? I mean, as far as we know.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I don't want... So I understand the battlefield here. So apparently, Belzarin and I are far away from Tota and Tamarin. Farther away than I apparently thought. Okay, all right. So I don't... So we'll attack these two and then leave those two with the other ones?
Well, So the other two are incapacitated. The one's in a hole, the other one's asleep. And then apparently they run into the mine while we're out back.
All right, I guess we're just doing shit show then. All right, let's take him out. Fuck it. All right, I nod like in the opposite direction that you are in, because I don't know where you are. So I nod.
Okay, I'm gonna draw my longbow and then take a shot at one of the two guys then.
Yeah, and Cam lowers his crossbow at the other one.
Okay, so you're not casting darkness, you're just attacking.
No. We'll attack.
All right.
So the first attack is going to be 22.
I think that hits.
And that's going to be 11 damage.
Okay.
And then the next one is going to be 19 and 12 damage. Same guy.
Yeah. All right. So yeah. So I'm sorry. What exactly were you doing?
So I'm invisible. So we have this quick conversation about what it is that we want to do. I quickly sheathe the sword, draw out the longbow. I knock two arrows, and Legolas now let fly into the one guy as he like starts to stand up from his skillet and twunk twunk, two arrows in the chest.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So like, so you know, you think you're just gonna like easily capacitate this person or whatever, and as soon as those two kind of hit, he just kind of just starts coughing up blood, just bleh, bleh, and he's like the shock in his eyes is just like bleh, bleh, and he just doesn't really know what's going on. Kind of wipes his face and it's kind of coming out of his nose too, and he kind of gets on his hands and knees and just continues to bleed.
Susan, tell the kids I love them.
Oh, damn it. Why would they station a couple who have children together?
I assume this. So the invisibility spell, if you cast it, if you take an offensive action, would make you visible. Is it the same way for the cloak? Does that work in a similar fashion? Or am I still invisible?
So you to you still seem like you look at yourself and you still seem invisible. The only time it ever wavers is when you knock those two arrows and shoot them, because it's almost like a ripple in water when you drop like a pebble. It like shimmers a little bit and you can kind of see what's happening, but then as soon as you're done, the scene basically goes back. Roll me a perception. No, not a perception. Let's just do like an intelligence check. Just a straight intelligence.
It's a 7.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm not adding anything else to that. You'll have to figure that out on your own.
But I'm still invisible.
You are. But the other guard kind of notices where that comes from and just goes to charge at you.
Well, can I get a shot off at him? Because I was aiming at the other one while he was aiming at the first one.
Yeah, you can.
All right.
So you both basically have a jump on them, so I'll let you both attack first.
All right, so it was a 23 to hit.
Okay.
And I got this sneak attack thing for the rogue, so it was...
Well, you would have had advantage anyway, because they don't see you.
Right, yeah. No, that was my... Yeah, so it was 23 damage total to the guy that I was aiming at. So I just, like, took... As he shot his two arrows, I was like, oh, he's going to that one. So I just adjusted my aim and then just... took a shot like at his neck.
Yeah. So what are you using for your weapon?
The crossbow. Light crossbow.
Crossbow. Same thing. Okay. Yeah. So like the other guy is kind of like looks at his fallen partner or whatever, and then kind of like looks up and like is ready to charge and takes one in the neck and almost proceeds to do exactly the same thing as the other one, just coughing up blood. Can't believe it. Hands and knees, and they're both kind of slowly dying together.
Bernard! They reach, one reaches for the other's hand.
Y'all are so dark.
Let's get that fucking food they were cooking, because that smells really,
really good, right?
Yeah, I mean, the description of it was so good that I have to have it.
I shoot him again.
And I shoot the other one again.
As long as they're not technically prone.
We get the spears. We lose the spears.
Yeah,
we take the spears.
Yeah,
because they sound cool too.
Yeah. So like basically you don't have to do anything, because they're just basically just going to bleed to death without you even having to lift a finger.
We should probably get the fuck back to Tota and Tamron.
Shit, you're right. Wait.
Speaking of.
Smash cut two.
Meanwhile,
we grabbed the food, though.
Right. Grabbed the food. Kurt, it is very important that we grab.
Yes.
The food.
Yes. So
we're just walking towards the cave mouth, right?
So
I'm still sauntering up to the cave.
So we both run up but you don't see me. And then like all of a sudden the skillet just like picks up in the air because I don't realize it yet.
Oh, Jesus. This is weird.
I'm going to. Okay. So real quick. So I'll like run up to the guy in the hole. So these guys are kind of big, right? Like they're kind of.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go over to, I'm so sorry about this. I hope you have insurance or something that can help you. Or like, is there a cleric in the town? Maybe you can go to.
Yeah. And basically that thing is just swearing up and down at you. Like he's just basically like, I'm going to break your neck when I see you next.
I really don't want to, but.
Guess what? It's going to happen. I'm going to break you in two.
As he pulls, so he's going to pick the ball back up, and the hole is going to fill back in, but he's going to make it only fill in up to like the guy's shoulders.
Oh God!
Like he can still breathe.
Boy, for being a small, like kind of fun boy, you're dark.
So he's whack-a-mole. What are you talking about? I am saving, like, I'm just.
You're saving yourself by almost killing another one. Molding earth
around him, but he's still alive. Like, I'm keeping this man alive. Yeah,
until he starves to death. Yep.
Well, no, it only lasts for an hour. The other guy's going to wake up. But I don't know. Listen, I'll make sure. We're just going to go in. We're going to take a look, okay? But we'll. I'll make sure you get out. I'll make sure we'll take you back to town when we get out, okay? I just want to make sure.
But I don't think he probably doesn't want to converse with us right now. Let's just go inside.
No. Is there anything I can get you in the meantime? Do you want like a snack or something?
Just come on.
I reach into my pack and I have, and I pull out a brown bead and a blue bead. And I'm like, okay, this one is for if you get hungry. And this one is for if you get thirsty, okay? And I'll put them, like, in front of him. Like, he doesn't have hands because they're in the dirt. So I'll put him, like, close enough that he can reach him with, like, his tongue or something if he's hungry or thirsty. Yeah. Okay. And I'm like, and I, like, pat him on top of the head.
And as you guys are kind of going into the mouth of the cave, and you hear kind of in the background, pull out your entrails and watch you bleed and that kind of thing. Like it's not good.
We'll be back.
All right. So as you all kind of reconvene after whatever that was,
those two guys.
Yes.
Belzer and Coup de Grace, the guy who's sleeping.
Yeah. And I think probably Cam will use one of his soul knife blades and slit the throat of the sleeping guy.
Everyone is just like,
yeah, that happened.
Toto's already in the cave. Please don't make me see this.
It's okay. You'll see when we go out.
there's enchiladas like dripping down both of our chins. They're enchiladas. Are they enchiladas?
No. They're something else. It's a Greek food, that I've had recently. So,
oh, okay. Well, I put enchiladas from the skillet in the inventory, as well as two dark obsidian spears, just so we don't forget.
Nice. Never forget. Okay. So you guys enter the Crestia Mines, and it almost looks like you're walking into. I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It's the mine itself doesn't look like a normal mine. Like inside, everything looks almost like it's made out of diamonds almost. It's jaggedy and there's stuff protruding here and there. There's kind of like a, you know, the whole stalagmite, but it's all looks like it's made out of diamonds, and the light is refracting everywhere. So you see blues and greens and purples and browns and violets and like every kind of thing. And when you step on it, it's almost like you're going to be walking on ice, but you, when you walk on it, it's still very firm, but it's also, it also feels there's like a dangerousness to it. Even when you're walking on it, that you feel like I need to be careful here.
Jonah's going to pull real quick. Jonah's going to pull out two balls, throw both of them in the air. One of them is four mini lights that are radiating different rainbow colors. It's just going to just bounce off of all the crystal. And then the other one is just going to start going.
Jonah, roll me a dexterity check, please.
Oh my God. Is this for the breakdancing?
Yes.
That's a 12.
Okay. All right. So you throw it and then like the lights kind of explode, but don't really touch anything, and it all, you know, just kind of flashes different things. The music kind of hits or whatever, and it's kind of odd because when it hits it actually refracts also off of all the crestium, what you assume is the crestium. And it shakes everything a little bit to where it almost is kind of dangerous, but it doesn't really do anything that is concerning. But the light, when you're doing it, it doesn't blind you, but it also does not feel good. It's just kind of like when a light kind of hits a certain way and it kind of hits your face, you're kind of like, oh, and then it, you know, it's like when, like the sun refracts off of like a mirror or something like that. It's just like, yeah. Whoa, it's like a little too much. So you guys are, you know, you're all kind of like, ooh, ooh, you know, as you kind of walk in. I'm sure Tota probably isn't, because he's a 12-year-old boy that's just kind of like, this is fun.
This is my favorite part, right?
I'm pretty sure Tamron's a regular on that scene, so.
Yeah. Nice.
I like this idea of you two, like, you're dancing.
That's good shit.
How does a gnome, is that how a gnome would dance?
Yeah.
Of course it is.
Yeah, just insert your favorite EDM into the background.
Right, exactly. It only lasts for a minute, though. So.
Nice.
It's the best minute of our lives.
All right, that was fun. We can keep going now.
Yeah, so like, you know, as you're kind of looking around, like there's certain parts in the cave that as you kind of get deeper and deeper into it, that look almost black. It almost looks like if someone were to take like an M80 and just throw it on the ground, it exploded, you know, just kind of like that, that blackness that kind of reaches out and all different directions and stuff like that. And you see like almost like piles of dust kind of like here and there where the black is and stuff like that. I would like you all to roll me either a perception check or our arcana check.
That's going to be a two.
Dirty 20 on perception.
Nice.
Oof.
15 on the perception for 10.
I got blinded and I still got a little bit of ringing from the note, from the music. So
you're jamming.
Yeah.
18 on Arcana.
Nice. Okay. All right. So Bilzarin, you are kind of looking at this like these piles of dust, and you kind of like take it in your fingers and you kind of like put it in your fingers, kind of look at it, and you like kind of smell it, and you're like, that was a person.
I tell everybody.
Tamron, as you're looking at the spots where the blackness kind of exploded and then the stuff next to it, you can tell that this crestium is just like you had kind of been told by Zip, who was a friend of Puck's, that you are embodying, that the crestium is so unstable and that it's not to be handled by bare hands or body parts or anything like that. So you assume that someone was trying to mine this crestium and made the mistake. and paid for it with their life.
Mind the gap, gentlemen. Do not touch the pretty rock.
Well, doesn't, I mean, no one's here, right?
Well, there was someone right there.
Well, yeah, I mean, right. And it, like, I brushed my hand off on my, my chest. There were no wagon tracks out front, right? I mean, it's clearly open. Were there tracks out front, Kurt? I mean, did it look like there was any sort of industrial activity that's happening here? Is there anything going on inside?
The scaffolding, active mining.
Yeah, buckets.
As I kind of said outside, it looked like at one point maybe the mouth of the cave was blown in or blown out or whatever, and they pushed everything kind of off to the side. You see like footprints kind of here and there and stuff like that, but you don't really see any like equipment or anything like that. So either they didn't know what to use or it's been cleaned up.
Well, that's interesting then. So if indeed the vizier had designs on the throne, this would be something that he would want to keep to himself. So obviously not an industrial operation, but if they can winnow away small amounts of this crestium to use for whatever nefarious purposes, it makes sense. I mean, obviously they weren't just coming. I mean, there's a camp here. I mean, they were cooking food. They're prepared to stay here and watch this place.
Yeah, I think that's seeming like the likely story here.
Tamarin, do you have any spells that we could use to close this back up again? I don't have anything. Tota, what about your shape stone?
Do we want to search for any other clues? I know we don't want to touch anything, but
yeah.
Oh yeah, definitely don't touch it.
Yeah.
Do we want to do a more thorough search?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, we certainly can.
Thorough search.
Okay.
Montage.
Okay. So I'm gonna give you all. Yeah.
Thank you, Tota. Thank you, Tota. Can you put some more of that? You put another a disco ball up there.
I'm gonna give you all kind of a choice. So you can either do again, this is probably just going to go with whatever works well for you guys. You can do just a regular perception check. You can do an arcana check. I think there was another option I had.
Investigation?
Maybe an investigation if you have something like that. What I would like, though, is for after your roll, I would like you to tell me exactly what you're looking for. No broad strokes, not like, oh, I'm just looking for a clue. Like, I want to know exactly what you're looking for so I can tell you exactly the right thing if you roll right.
Sure, but the only problem is we don't know what we're looking for, right? We're looking for something that's out of place, something that...
See, and that's the thing. See, if you say, if you say that, then obviously I get that. But sometimes I'm not saying it to be rude, you know, it almost sounded like that when I said it, but I like ideas other than I'm just searching for something just so I can have an idea of what I can give you back. So if it doesn't turn out that way, that's fine. But I say that as think of something if you can, other than just whatever I'm searching.
So is this cave just end? Like, it doesn't go any deeper?
Yeah. So yeah, like it doesn't have another entrance. It's basically just kind of there or whatever. There are smaller spots that have kind of like, you know, divots and stuff like that. So you kind of do see that, you know, some of this might have been chunked out because it looks irregular and stuff like that. But there's no other hidden entrances as far as you know. I'm just going to give you this before you roll. There's no outcroppings that go other places and stuff like that. It's just one big cave.
Okay. Well, I guess, yeah, she's looking for anything that isn't naturally here that might be a clue as to what's going on, or any hint of who might be doing this.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Okay.
Paperwork, something.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, go ahead and just roll whatever you think, you know, perception or arcana if you're looking for something magical, or if you're just doing a straight perception, just do that.
I got a 13 on perception, and again, I'm looking for something that seems out of place.
Out of place. Cave okay.
Full of crestium.
Yeah, 12.
Okay. Okay.
Tota's going to take a look around, and he's going to be keeping an eye out for any magical residue or any kind of signs of any spells that were used in this mining process.
Okay. What'd you roll?
I rolled a 10.
Okay. Cam, what'd you roll?
I rolled a 17 looking for mining tools.
Okay.
Ooh, there you go.
That's perfect. Okay. So I'm going to start with Cam since you rolled the highest. So you're looking for some certain tool and it's nowhere to be found. And you're kind of like, that doesn't make any sense, because it should just be something where, you know, it's either a pickaxe or it's some kind of, you know, blunt weapon and stuff like that. And it should be something that just kind of works. And you kind of stare into this one spot where you know that some of it's kind of been dug up, and it almost looks like it's been burnt. It's almost like somebody used something to do with possibly fire or something like that, that was able to carve it out.
Okay. So I would actually, I'd point that out. I don't know if anyone else found anything, but there's definitely no mining tools here. But look at this area over here. I might even point it out specifically to Tota, like, you know, well, Tota and Tamron, like, for the magic, like, is this some sort of, this is a burnt area over here. They were using something other than traditional mining tools to try to get this crestium out. Does this look like anything to you?
Does it look like anything to me?
Tota, as you look at it, it almost looks like someone has used some kind of spell. And you look a little further, and it almost looks like someone had actually taken their fingers and, like, dug into it. And as you look a little deeper and you look a little deeper, Tota, what's your favorite spell that you've ever cast?
That would be minor illusion.
Okay.
It's an oldie but a goodie.
Yeah, for sure. So when you cast this spell, I know that, and I can't think of the term, but I know when people have certain things in their minds, whether it be reading or something, or art, like colors kind of come into their head, that kind of thing. Like when you cast minor illusion, what's the first color that comes to your head?
Purple.
Purple?
Yep.
Okay. So you kind of look, and you're kind of looking at it or whatever. So when you're kind of looking into it or whatever, what do you tell Cam, you know, when you see that the hands have kind of dug into it and it looks like he's, like, somebody had just kind of grabbed it out of the ground, basically?
I don't know exactly what, so there's definitely something arcane here, but it looks like they've, like, used their own hands to kind of, like, reach in and pull the crystal out. It's eerie.
Yep. So as you do that, another Tota in purple shows up, like a minor illusion, and says the same thing in another spot that's been dug. And another Tota pops up and says the same thing in another spot where it had been, something had been released. Another Tota pops in another spot. And it's like you, it's like one of those things where it just, it's like somebody hits a button on a thing that says the same thing over and over and over again, like a 12-year-old would, and over and over and over again.
Tota, what is this? What are you doing? Tota, what are you doing?
I am showing us all of the spots where magic was used purposefully. He is clearly freaked out by this.
Yeah. And Tamron and Tota are the only two people that see that when the other Totas pop out in the certain spots, another illusion of a certain being, whether it be an elf or it be an orc or it be, you know, whatever, they all, it shows how they've got this crestium. It shows one using that. It looks like they have like the one that you saw, Tota, that Cam showed you. It looks like someone's got this like gauntlet and it's on fire. Mm. And he goes in and they go in and just kind of grab it out and like kind of like yell in celebration. There's this like a fairy that's in this corner or whatever, and it casts like, it almost looks like this rainbow spell, and it kind of digs through the wall and it pulls out like a certain amount of like sparkly, almost like dust. It turns the crestium kind of like in a dust, and the fairy kind of stares at it and just kind of like is in awe. And then there's another one in another corner that's got this what looks like this blade that's made out of like almost like a fiery ice, fiery blue ice, and it kind of like carves like a triangle in a corner, and it takes it and lifts it, and all of these beings make the same mistakes. They're so enthralled in what the crestium is. And like the one that had the gauntlet puts it in its other hand that doesn't have anything on it, and like looks at it and is just in so much awe. And then all of a sudden just starts to like melt and starts to burn and then turns into this little pile of ash. The fairy that looks at all of like the dust or whatever and goes to grab it, and it kind of like falls back onto it, and it just kind of like hits certain parts and it starts to scream and it starts to melt through and it just pile on the ground, and everyone makes the same mistake by touching it, and then the illusions disappear.
Told you, don't touch it.
So all we saw was the 1,000 Totas, and
correct.
Okay, gotcha. Tota, what did you do? What did you just
don't touch? Don't touch it, please and thank you.
Don't touch.
Wait a moment. Just don't touch the crystal.
No, I'm not going to touch the crystal.
Tamron sees this.
Yes.
So basically, we're seeing every time the crystium was mined.
Mm-hmm. And someone made the mistake of touching it with their flesh.
Only if they touched it and died. So we're just seeing a lot of people die.
We're seeing like a couple of dozen people die within a few seconds.
That's pleasant. Tamron probably just pukes in the corner.
Yeah. You two okay?
Bend over, mage hand to pat her on the back.
Oh yeah, she's horrified. She's like, this is really dangerous stuff. That's a lot of dead people. Did you see all those people? Who was that guy with the glove? He was really creepy.
You saw a guy with a glove?
You didn't see a guy with a glove?
No, I just saw a bunch of totas.
That's strange. Tota, did you see a guy with a glove?
I saw a guy with a glove, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Was it an orc man? Was it like the guards?
No. No, there was like a fairy and an elf and some dwarves. And yeah, I'm
They were using the glove to get the crest of him. Is that what you're saying?
I mean, only a couple of them. There was one guy using a sword, and there was the fairy using. I think I've seen color spray. There was one guy with an axe. Yeah, it was. Oh, and he's like finally kind of shaking it off. If I don't close my eyes, then I won't see them anymore.
Was there an Illithid? Illithid with a pink mohawk by any chance? Did you see that?
Yeah. Was it us?
No. It wasn't us. It was all the people that had mined the Christium and then had died while doing it. I told you, do not touch the crystal.
Okay. Yeah, we won't touch it.
Yeah, they all burned up from the inside out. It was not pleasant to watch.
Oof. Did they explode in the same way that the king seemed to have exploded?
King came apart in pieces. These people turned into dust.
And ash, he'll point to like all the like the black char around the ground. He's like, no, that is them.
That's okay. People.
Right. Oh yeah, yes. Yeah.
Char is people. His hand
again.
Char be people. Oof. Yeah.
So if someone used the Crestium to kill him, it wasn't by touching. They would have had to have used it some other way. Although I don't even know that I believe that was the case, because we don't really have any evidence that that's the case, other than a weird death.
And as you kind of ponder all the question, more questions that you have more than answers, you guys are more towards the back of the cave, and you hear some voices at the front of the cave, and you hear someone speak up and say, gentlemen, all will be fine. Just come in. I will explain everything. We'll be able to divide the Crestium up to whoever needs it. It'll all be okay. And you kind of see this figure kind of walking in, and it's dressed. They're dressed to the nines with a nice, like almost like a beautiful headdress, all in like purple and deep red. And they have this insignia of the King of Vordonia. And we'll call it there.
This podcast is a proud member of the Legends of Tabletop Broadcast Network. For more gaming-related content, please visit www.legendsoftabletop.com.